another term, like delivery challenge is also very important term in this logistic. Another important term is LC, that means letter of credit. What is letter of credit? A letter of credit is a document from a bank guaranteeing that a seller will receive a payment in full as long as certain delivery conditions have been met. So in the event that the buyer is unable to make a payment on the purchase, the bank will cover the outstanding amount. So in this case, if you are sending something to US office and the cost of that consignment is say 1 lakh, so you have to give the bank guarantee or letter of credit. So in the case your regional office doesn't pay the charges of that 1 lakh equivalent amount, then the courier company or the responsible bank who is authorizing for the letter of credit will cover the outstanding amount with that authority you have given. So you have to give the authority earlier. So that is why letter of credit is important in the case where the cost of that material you are dispatching is vast. Then bank guarantee. A bank guarantee is like a line of credit guarantees a sum of money to a beneficiary. Unlike a line of credit, the sum is only paid if an opposing party does not fulfill the stipulated obligations under the contract. So it is slightly different than the letter of credit. Here it is a guarantee. So this bank guarantee they have to exercise only when any default happen in this transaction. So it is just a security option so that their interest should not be any problem and the smooth functioning happen and any default should not happen. In any case, any default happens, then there is a bank guarantee to pay you whatever the default charges. So this can be used to essentially insure a buyer or a seller from loss or damage due to non-performance by the other party in the contract. So that is why if you are sending some particular very costly document from your system concern situated in Japan and you are not sure whether it will come to you in the proper condition, all that, so in this case you can ask the other third party company to give you a bank guarantee. So in case any damage happens to your material, you can take it out from the bank guarantee. So again, when to sign the bank guarantee and when not to sign, it depends condition to condition, material to material. It varies transaction to transaction. Then performer invoice, again it is mandatory like a delivery challan. Bank guarantee and everything may be optional, depends, varies condition to condition. But for any logistic, without delivery challan and performer invoice, any transaction could not happen. It is an essential thing. So what is performer invoice? Performer invoice is an arbitrage or estimated invoice sent by a seller to a buyer in advance of shipment or delivery of the goods. Performer invoices are commonly used as preliminary invoices with a quotation or for the custom purpose in importation. They differ from a normal invoice in not being a demand or request for payment. So there is a slight difference between normal invoice. So normal invoice when the actual transaction takes place. Performer invoice is a you can say some previous step than the proper invoice. So here you just, let's say if you want to book certain material from Canada, so the supplier first has to send a performer invoice, so that time the transaction has not take place. So in this case, performer invoice is why required, for you have to sign lot of documents for transfer of payment through your foreign exchange remittance and all that. So you have to sign the various form. So for that, performer invoice is required. And once your transaction is done, then they will send you actual invoice. So that is why there is a slight difference between performer invoice and a normal invoice. So next is the invoice. This is called a normal invoice, not the performer invoice. A non-negotiable commercial instrument issued by a seller to a buyer. It identifies both the trading parties and lists, describes and quantifies the items sold, shows the date of shipment, mode of transport, prices and discount if any, and delivery and payment term. So this is the final invoice. Once you are agreed for that amount, everything, then they will include the all the details like quantity, the mode of transport, price, and if any discount is given, they mention in that. Also, they mention the expected date of delivery of that parcel. So, selecting the courier or the flight operator. So, what are the parameters for the selection of courier or flight operating company? First is the reliability and long standing of the operator. So, most of the trusted names in the market in this courier business are, you can say, internationally, Federal Express is very much well known, then DHL, and if you see national level, then Blue Dart Courier is also very much trusted brand, then smaller sector, there are many. So reliability and a lasting of that operator is very essential. Then having operations from a prime locations for easy access, so they have the capability to serve you from a prime locations. Then having well equipped communication system. So you must have seen the courier boys of DHL and all that, they use very sophisticated technology. So that is why, so they, any parcel if you lost through a big company like Federal Express or DHL, you will get answer within 15 minutes what is the status of that parcel. So that is why they have very much fast tracking system. They can, if you put your consignment number and all that, if any international parcel, they can actually track where is the parcel lying at the particular moment. So that is why they should have very well equipped communication system. Then next one is having a wide network of pickup and delivery offices, franchises or tie up points. So they should have very wide network. So if you are a very big company having offices across 30 places in India, so you need a wide network of the courier option company. So they should not be only based in metro, they should have their presence in the smaller cities also. If they don't have the presence in the smaller cities, at least they have some small offices like just for delivery or pickup purpose, or they have tie-up points, or they can have a franchise option located at very small towns and cities. Then next is prompt services, ability to render services at a short notice. So they should be accessible 24/7, or at least in working hours they should be accessible. Then selecting the courier or freight operator, some additional points in this. Having international logistic network. So they should have a very strong international logistic network. So for example, if you want to courier some, if you are in the pharma company and you want to send a pharmaceutical samples to a government hospital based in Mogadishu, that is in Somalia, the interior Africa, then the local courier companies, those have international presence, in this scenario they may not able to serve you. So you have to go with the bigger one like DHL or Federal Express, etc., because they have wide international logistic network. Then next one is well trained customer support executive. Suppose you don't have internet access and you want to track the parcel, or you have any query, then that company should provide 24/7 call center support. So that is why well trained customer support executives are essential. Then fleet operators with a commitment to delivery schedules. They should follow the schedule. If they are guaranteeing you that parcel will have that at the other end within 72 hours, that means they should maintain the commitments. Then cross-checking credibility of the carrier from the existing customers. You can cross-check the credibility of that particular courier company. How is their service? What is their time, whether they fulfill, whether they come on time to collect it, what are the payment, whether they follow a particular cycle, etc. Then specialty of the courier or the freight forward operator to handle and deliver consignment timely in the safest manner. So what is their specialty? Whether they are technologically well enough, whether they have large network of delivery boys, all these terms you can analyze and then only finally take a call depending on your budget and the need. You can assign the courier or freight operator. So then efficient handling of mail requires establishment of a definite procedure, which are termed as steps of handling the mail. So now the mail part, main part, the logistic part we already covered. Now the small part regarding which is connected to the logistic, that is the mail. So these some steps for efficient handling of the mail. So these are receiving the mail, sorting the mail and opening the mail. So mail means normal documentation mail your office what you receives. So first the department, mostly the administration department only does this job, that receiving of the mail. So big company per day you must be receiving around 100 or thousands of mail. Then you have to sort the mail department wise. If you have many branch offices and this mail is coming to your head office, then you have to sort it as per the city wise, as per the regional office wise. Then the next job is the opening the mail. Then scrutiny of the contents. Then you have to do the scrutiny of the content. Then you have to do the date stamping, that what is the date you received it. Then recording the email. So that means you can, some companies they record the mail, what is the receiving date, time, etc. So that if any further queries are related to that mail, the administration department can answer that queries. So finally is the distribution of the mail. Then finally everything is recorded, then you can distribute to concerned person or the concerned department. And the next is the follow-up option. So this is how the mail process goes. So the last but not the least, that is the list of registers to be maintained by the administration department. So two important registers they have to maintain. So first register is that there are the various acts which are required to follow. So one of the important act under this is the Factories Act, that is applicable only for the operating unit where they produce a physical goods, not the intangible services. So this is Factories Act is not applicable for IT or service oriented thing, but for automotive sector, pharma or leather goods or any other types of where physical goods are produced, this Factory Act is applicable. It is dated 1948. So under this act, what details you have to maintain as per the guidelines of this act? That is register of adult workers, then register of leave with wages, then accident register with form. So in any case any accident is happen, you have to make the record, date and a exact reason of that accident. Then muster roll and wages register. Then next is inspection book, then register of compensatory holidays and overtime. If you have policy of giving overtime, so worker wise you have to keep this record. If any worker is working on the paid holiday days or the any other Sundays or any other holiday days, then there is a provision to provide them a compensatory holiday. So that register also you have to maintain. Then muster roll for exempted workers. Then another important act regarding this administration is the Payment of Bonus Act 1965. So under this act, certain amount of bonus you have to pay to the permanent workers, that is the employees of the company. So here you have to take the bonus act, particular details of the employees, their joining date, their present designation, their present basic salary, etc. So you have to record all this. Then next act important related to the administration department is the Equal Remuneration Act 1976. That means similar level, similar experience worker should get a equal amount of wages. So for that you have to keep a certain separate register, that is called Form D type of register. Next important act is the Contract Labor Act dated 1970. So here you have to make a register in the with the contents of applicable form number 8. So contract laborers are the non-permanent basis worker, those who are not working permanently and they are not on the direct payroll. So they are called the contract laborers or temporary laborers. So you are taking their help only when it is needed. So that is why they are called contract laborers. So under this bonus act and all that, these contract laborers are not eligible for any bonuses. But if company decides to give them, they can give. But legally they are not eligible to receive the bonuses. Then Payment of Wages Act 1936. So here in this, as per this, you have to keep register of wages, fines, deductions and advance. If any worker has taken an advance money for their medical purpose or anything, educational purpose of their child, you have to maintain the record of their advances. Then Minimum Wages Act 1948. Here government has emphasized a particular minimum wage for a particular experience or category of the laborer. So that is why the minimum amount has been fixed. Higher is as per the company, but that much minimum amount company has to pay. So for this purpose, administration department has to maintain a wages slip of each and every employee. Then Employees State Insurance Act 1948. So you have to keep a separate register for this under this insurance purpose. So in this you have to keep again the separate accident register, because you have to, some workers may get a compensation in terms of insurance for the accident if it is covered in that policy. Then again here you have to keep inspection book also. And last one is the Employees Provident Fund, that is MP Act 1952. So here you have to register it. The proper register has to be maintained, and the as per the company laws or the labor ministry, every permanent employee is eligible for the provident fund. Mainly they have the criterias of minimum employee. So your company should have this policy. It is mandatory one. How much is the amount? Always it is based, provident fund amount is based on the basic salary, basic pay, not on the gross. So depending on, you have some amount is deducted from your salary also to contribution to your provident fund account, and a similar type of amount company also pay on behalf of you in that same account. So it is a, both are contributing to the provident fund. So now government of India has made simplified this provident fund option. Now with your number you can actually see how much balance is there in your provident fund account. The government of India has made the online website of this Employees Provident Fund, a very internet based technology is used in this, and you can have lot of information accessing this website, but you should have the provident fund number in your hand. So this is all about the different laws. As per that laws, you have to maintain certain types of record which has indirect connection towards the logistic department, but who will be doing all this record? The functional administration department of the company itself. So this is all about the logistic department, which is an integral part of the functional administration. Thank you.